Then look at us.
Look at that. He just winked there.
Leopard! No, say the officials.
Hello and welcome to the Football Foundry. We're all a little bit giddy. We're sponsored by Roughneck Scarves still. And we just beat Germany.
Yeah, it happened.
I'm James, that's Matt. And we've also got...
Hello.
Your name's Hello.
Mr. Dean Proud, yeah. Mr. Dean Proud has joined us for this one. I mean, we haven't really got a script for this episode because we're recording... It's currently 7:45, so we're recording just after the England game. The emotions are still there. I can't quite put together how the game went fully, but we're going to try and dissect all that as we go on. But first off, how were you both feeling? Because that was intense.
I was biting my nails to about the 65th minute.
65th, something like that,
minute,
yeah.
Something like that.
It was, I think we were like 75th, weren't it?
I can't remember, mate. It's all one blur now.
I was making Gary Neville-esque noises and squeaks and...
Oh!
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm with you, Matt. My fingernails are like non-existent anymore.
Because... And when we did score, I'm amazed I didn't actually break anything in the house because I must have smacked like the wall about 3 times and...
Yeah.
Especially the first one.
Yeah, the first... Yeah, really, because it had been crying out for something, hadn't it? And Germany were knocking on the door and then... It was sort of out of nowhere as well, really, weren't it?
No, because it was quite an evenish game. I thought Germany might slightly had a little bit more control and dictate the game a bit more than we did. We had our chances mostly on the counter, but they seemed to have a hold on it then. Yeah, we scored.
Luke Shaw,
Grealish.
It happened.
Sterling, then Luke Shaw, Grealish, and Kane. Amazing.
Brilliant. They were brilliant. I think, as weird as it is, I think the game management of that game, arguably one of the better ones for England as a whole, because Germany couldn't get through that defence whatsoever.
You
look at defences gone by, like...
Now, you always knew, like, before the match, everyone knew it was going to end up with the 3 centre-halves and the 2 wing-backs. I think you're pretty deluded if you ever thought it was going to do anything but that to start with, but... We had a clean sheet, mate. You can't fault it.
No one scored against us yet.
Thomas Muller should have.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that breakaway, I was like, he's done here. He's done. Well, celebrated too soon. It went to be.
It was good that Muller couldn't hit the corner.
Oh, my God. Where did you see that one? Is that one on Twitter?
No, the bad thing is he nicked that from me.
Yeah.
That's a Matt Clark original, that.
It is, but usually you keep them to yourself.
Yeah, I should have. It was bad.
I would have back put my house on him scoring, like, when he
I
got put through.
Did. Sterling, he's pretty much crying.
It would have been a good game for him, a goal and an assist.
Yeah. I mean, that pass was horrific. I don't even know who we were aiming for.
But I think, to be fair, I think he got a nudge in the back at the same time. I think that did kind of put him off, but... You've got to be stronger in that sort of situation anyways, but thank God he missed, because that would have been 1-1.
So let's sort of go through each player's performance, because, I mean, the midfield were brilliant. Declan Rice and Calvin Phillips. I mean, if these two didn't play for West Ham and Leeds, would they get more recognition on a global scale?
Yeah, I think that's part of it, because obviously they're just playing on the Premier League. Like, if they were in European competitions... They would obviously get a bit more about them, and they would have a bit more world recognition to what they are. Because if you ask a lot of other people from different countries, they wouldn't have heard of Calvin Phillips before this tournament, I'd say.
Exactly.
Declan Rice has got a little bit more about him because he has been around the scene for a little bit, but yeah, they are they're unknowns really in these Euros, and they're not playing like it.
But what's really good is that you look at some of the players that they come up against, not just in today's game. I mean, like, go back to Croatia.
Yeah.
You got Luka Modric in there. You got Brozovic in there. You got all sorts of players. All sorts that they've come up against, and they brushed them aside.
And today, mate,
like they've not shied out of a challenge. Both of them are on a yellow card as well, by the way.
That was sort of what worried me. I thought one's going to come in with a flying tackle.
They were both pretty early-ish onto the game, I was dreading half time because I think they were both booked in the first half. It's like, oh my god, he's going to bring Henderson on at half time here.
Don't do it. Well.
Don't bring Henderson on because you're scared of getting another yellow card in that centre midfield.
But do you know what? I just like Phillips's bulldog approach. Like, he will literally do whatever he can to win that ball, and Rice sits just in front of defence.
Rice is a bit more, not clever, but subtle about his ways. He doesn't need to throw tackles about. It's more of his positioning game, and he's just there to intercept passes to see it's coming. Obviously, Calvin Phillips comes in like a wrecking ball. Sorry, Miley Cyrus, or whoever seen to that. But yeah, but obviously when he got booked, because he got the ball, but his foot bounced up in his cruise.
Yeah.
But considering it was those two against, Tony Cruz was pulling the strings for Germany, like, but they managed him well.
And Tony Cruz is top in there player. As well.
Yeah.
Like they've come up against some tough midfielders that you'd think on their day would run a game and control a game, and they've not been able to do that against England, and I think it is purely down to that Rice and Phillips combination. 100%.
Because a lot of people wouldn't have fancied them even as the partnership going into the first game against Croatia, but they've definitely established themselves as England's holding midfielders, if that's the system they're going to play.
Well, you look at it as well, though, and you think two holding midfielders, but they don't stay as holding midfielders because Phillips, majority of the time, he's charging down defenders that are knocking ball around.
He does.
Like, he's all over the pitch. Like,
he's definitely a box to box. He gets around. He's definitely got high work rate, and his energy levels and stamina is brilliant.
Yeah.
Like I said before, Declan Rice does a lot of like the unseen work. It was like, kind of reminds me a little bit because like it's when Owen Hargreaves was at its peak for England, he would never get any bit of praise or anything like it for Man United as well, but he was just always consistent and solid. And Declan Rice is kind of like that. If only he had his set piece ability as well, but
yeah,
he's good.
that would be brilliant. How do you feel about Rice and Phillips, Dino?
I'm liking them. Rice sometimes frustrates us just when they knock it back and.
Yeah, but I think that's part of Rice's play, isn't it?
Yeah,
Rice is there to break it down and to hold on to some possession and distribute it a bit.
It worked today, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and I think the whole possession play from England is a lot better than what it was in Russia.
It does have its pros, obviously. I think there's a lot of people would have been there might have thought it was slightly negative because the amount of times that England were reluctant to play the ball forward. But I know Gareth Southgate would just say it was just patient play by his team. But there was a lot of times where you think if you just made it a little bit quicker down that right hand side or left hand side, we'd have got a breakaway. Yeah. But then he ends up passing it back inside and he always go back to Pickford because surely Pickford in the first half must have been close to highest touches.
Yeah, I mean, it did have a lot, didn't it? It did have a lot. But I do get what you're saying in the negative play, because it was quite negative.
But England
a few years ago, exactly, that's what counts,
can't
isn't it?
Can you? England 2-0.
But if you go back 2 years ago, England, instead of playing it backwards when they did, they'd punt it upfield for a stupid ball that no one's ever going to get to.
True.
I mean, it did happen a few times today. But it meant they could hold on to the ball and then when the Germans pushed out, England could then try again.
Yeah.
And it kept that possession. I think that's a side of England that we've not seen for a while.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what... There's two ways to look at it. You could look at it that way or the negative approach. But some of it was a bit like, why are you playing it backwards when he's just made a run?
Yeah.
Like there was a lot of that as well. But speaking of winning 2-0, we still haven't conceded a goal. And Pickford, when he has been called upon, has actually been top draw.
Yeah, he made some decent saves. Obviously, the chance from Kai Havertz in this game that he tipped over the bar. He's been solid, and we've always raved about his distribution. That's been one of the reasons why Southgate has kept him as number one, because you could argue there's better shot stoppers in the Premier League, Nick Pope, for example. But Pickford showing that he's capable and he's fully deserving of the England number one shirt. There shouldn't be anyone that should be in consideration of taking that from him.
I mean, the backups, Sam Johnston and Aaron Ramsdale, at minute, because Pope and Henderson have both pulled out, haven't they, because of injury.
To be fair, Sam Johnson did all right in his pre-tournament match, but no. Stick with Pickford.
Pickford all the way. And that back three as well, Walker, Stones and Maguire. It works so well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Walker can't pass a ball to save himself, but bar that, his recovery play is good, mostly because of his bad pass.
Yeah. I mean, we run about that during the game. Walker's recovery is great, but more often than not, it's because he's played a bad pass and has to recover from it.
Because obviously there was one chance, I think it was in the first half, that he recovered well against Havertz, but yeah. He defended well. That's all you should really ask from a centre-half, so...
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And what about Harry Kane? Because obviously he's not had the greatest tournament, and he didn't have the greatest game, to be fair. He's very, very marked out of it by Hummels and... Rudiger, they did a number on him, but
really, it was more
his goal at the end.
We just didn't get any balls to him at all.
Yeah,
chance of getting a pass, and then we go back inside and back.
Yeah,
but at the same time, Germany tend to always had two men on him. Anytime a ball was going towards him, they had Hummels in front and Rudiger behind, or if it was the other side, it was Hummels and Gintner. It was marked really well out of the game, but
in the second half, he dropped more deeper to get the ball, which helped him.
Yeah, he had to try and get foothold in the game. And obviously, he started getting the ball and passing it about a little bit when he had dropped. And obviously, he scored.
Yeah, and hopefully that kickstarts him now. But, I mean, throughout the tournament, he's not really had the opportunities that he did have in Russia, for example. Yeah. But you could also argue we come up against a tougher opposition so far in this one than we did in Russia.
Yeah.
But that... That chance he had just before half time, a confident Harry Kane just smashes that first time.
Oh yeah, skipped Neuer. Yeah. Well, I think he skipped Neuer. I don't know if he meant to or what was going on, but obviously it was a quick reaction because obviously the ball was then played off a German player to get through to him. So
I think that first touch is intentional, isn't it? It's just a bit too heavy.
Him. Then I think Hummels has come round and just sweeped it away before he could even get to it. So you could say that it was good defending by the Germans, to be honest, but. You'd still fancy Kane to be a bit sharper with that, but like you said, he's now scored. It was a good goal, good header, and hopefully he'll just build on this thing. He'll smash four past Ukraine or Sweden on Saturday.
Well, that's next what's coming up. We've got Ukraine or Sweden. They're about to kick off in 5 or so minutes. Who are you fancying getting through that one to meet us in the quarters?
I think Sweden will be the more likely team to get through.
Yeah. Snap, but I don't really care. Because we'll beat whoever it is.
We hope.
I mean, I'm going to try and be that guy now that sticks to one game at a time.
Yeah, you just got to look what happened. Was it? I can't think which year it was. Iceland.
Yeah, 2016. Yeah.
You can't underestimate anyone.
No, you cannot underestimate anyone. I mean, look at previous games yesterday. Yeah. France knocked out.
Yes.
And. They were Spain 3-1 up 10 minutes to go. Croatia came back into it. France were in the same position as well, 3-1 up. Switzerland came back into it and then smashed them on penalties. And Mbappe's woeful tournament continued.
Yes.
Well, it's come to an end, really, hasn't it?
It's done.
It's done for him.
I just found it a bit bad by the France team that none of them even went over to say, like, oh, don't worry, mate. They just walk off, mate.
What I found funny is that Sommer had saved the penalty and he celebrated it, but he didn't realise that they'd gone through. he sort of celebrates it and he doesn't know what's going on.
I thought he was waiting for the official to see if he'd come off his line or something on the save. That's what I saw it as.
Right.
I wasn't sure if they were going to make him retake it because if you look, he does leap forward to save it, so I think he was a bit wary that he might have been caught out jumping off the line, maybe, but that's what it looked like to me.
I tell you what, though, Sommer looks in brilliant form. He pulled off some cracking saves in that game.
He's a solid
keeper. He is solid. And what about Pogba's goal as well, though?
It was a great finish.
Unbelievable finish, but he ruined it by being cocky and celebrating like that and then giving the ball away for the last goal, so...
Yeah.
It's all about him.
Always has been.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, Spain beat Croatia as well.
Yeah.
Two goals in extra time.
Mm-hmm.
Are we seeing much of a threat from this Spain squad, or do you think it was a miss off day for
Croatia? I don't know,
Croatia?
But I can't remember, but did Morata actually score.
He did.
He got the fourth.
He actually scored a goal.
Good goal.
Yeah.
It was a good goal.
It was, to be fair to him. I mean, he's not had the best.
Scott scores the hard ones, misses the easy ones.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
That's why I was hoping, like in our game, when Werner got put through, I was like, oh no, please don't.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well. As soon as Werner went through, I was like, oh God, this is where he just smashes it, top bins, and we're just like, oh my God. All the shit that English fans give him. And anyone that's not a Chelsea fan, just give him absolute shit week in, week out. And then he smashes one top bins against us. That's what I was worried about.
But yesterday, I don't think I've seen two games in a day as good.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. What a day of football that actually was. I thought you couldn't get any better than that Spain-Croatia game. And then you go into the next one and you're like, what? Unbelievable. Both games going into extra time, but then one of them making distance still penalties. And they were going toe for toe, weren't they? Score, 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 score.
Yeah,
and you're thinking, oh, it's going to be one of them. And then Mbappe on his fifth. It was set up, weren't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, it just felt like
a hero
was
and a villain. Summer was the hero, and Mbappe was definitely the villain.
Yeah, definitely. That's pretty much it, really. I mean, what else have we got to go through? England into quarterfinals against, we're saying, Sweden, yeah?
Yeah.
Probably.
How are we feeling that going?
England win.
It'd be like the World Cup all over again, mate. Probably another 2-0 win against them.
Yeah. Do you think he will go with a back three and wing backs?
I don't think he needs to, but
he might.
I think he might try and stick with the same system now for every single game, because obviously my main concern now, obviously France are gone, but I'm still wary about the Belgium side that we'll probably, we'll, if we get to the final, I think we'll face on the other side.
Well, we've got Spain, Italy and Belgium, haven't we, in that side, and one of them we're going to face if we get to the final. Yeah. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. Who's our likelihood for semi-finals?
Denmark, I would say. Against Czech Republic.
Yeah, I'd say the same. I think Denmark would...
For everything that's happened, obviously, with Eriksen, I hope they get to the semi-final and that.
Yeah, I mean if there was a team that I would love to see go the distance, it would be Denmark. But if it's at our expense, then they can put
exactly. Smash the living out of them.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, it's our tournament, not yours. Like, sorry. But yeah, I think Denmark probably would get past Czech Republic, and if we beat Sweden or Ukraine, whichever go through, and we meet Denmark, I couldn't see us struggling too badly against Denmark.
No,
shouldn't. But
you just never know. I mean, it's so edgy, knockout football. It's just always so.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it, but I love it. Because
it's tense. Like, obviously, tonight's game was obviously tense for all those English fans there. But then, the relief and the jubilation of when it actually does go our way, and like rush of euphoria. It's like, no, it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's beautiful stuff.
Definitely. Do you think we're gonna see Sancho at some point?
We've seen 8 minutes of him in last game. I think that's probably it. I mean, this would probably be the perfect game for him because he plays in that league.
It'd be the game that he'd been most up for, obviously, to prove a point that he should be in the England squad, showing the Bundesliga German players, like, yeah, I can do it. And I thought it would have been an ideal sub tonight, but obviously, can't argue with anything. We won 2-0.
Yeah.
The question marks why I thought, why do you take Saka off? But who else would you have taken off? Sterling? Then obviously, Sterling wouldn't have scored. So.
Exactly. I mean, it's.
The weird one, because
I thought Saka had played better than Sterling as well. Like, I genuinely thought Saka had put a shift in defensively and offensively.
Absolutely.
I mean, I think commentator mentioned at one point to put Saka at left wing back and take Luke Shaw off as well.
Stupid. Luke Shaw was one of the best players on the pitch.
Yeah, Luke Shaw. He had a quietly good game though, didn't he?
Yeah,
it weren't like, oh, Luke Shaw's doing this run or doing this or whatever. Mm-hmm. He had a solidly quiet game.
He was involved in both goals.
Yeah, he was
heavily involved in both. One with the assist and one was the key pass to Grealish.
It was in both of them as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's looking good heading into quarters, definitely.
Yeah, man.
I just hope that Kane keeps up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just could imagine, though, being in that crowd.
Oh,
the atmosphere would have been unreal.
A lad I know actually got a ticket, I just couldn't imagine what it'd be like in there.
Well, I think a lot of us are missing what it's like actually being in the ground,
isn't it? He messaged me saying he ended up on the floor because people just piled on top when they scored and there was bodies everywhere, so social distance getting.
I imagine so we're like pretty Portsmouth against whoever, pick a League One team. Portsmouth against Oxford, that atmosphere will be electric as well at this point, wouldn't it? Because
you barely
had fans at grounds at all. Absolutely. But England, Germany don't come around often at all. No. We've lost the last seven games. Well, sorry, we've not beaten them in seven games that we've faced them.
Haven't beat them in competition since 1966, mate.
Oh. What does that mean? What does that mean going forwards, Matt?
It's coming home.
It's coming home indeed. I mean, that's everything from me, really. I don't know if you two have got anything else to add.
Just quickly, up at Carlisle, you wouldn't be able to walk. You wouldn't be able to drive your car down the main street of Botchergate at the minute, because I've seen a video and they're just all on the road. So.
Oh yeah, it'd be like that everywhere a minute, wouldn't it? It'd be crazy.
Fan parks, everything. It's what we need, I think.
Yeah. Definitely. And it makes a lot of females happy that they've been able to watch the England game, watch them win, and then they get to watch Love Island as well. So it's
and
like a win-win.
They're probably only watching Jack Grealish, to be honest.
He has got lovely legs, though.
And hair.
I'm jealous of the hair, obviously, but he's got a good leg.
Yeah, I know you would be. Man, I think you're jealous of Luke Shaw's hair, aren't you? Oh, God. Well, I think that wraps us up nicely then, and we will call it a day. Yeah, but we are going to be back on... When do England play next? It's Saturday night, isn't it? Saturday night. So we'll do another quick post-match podcast, is what we'll call them, I guess.
Yeah,
and we'll give his reactions then. Whether we're staying in or going out, we just never know. But that one's in Rome. It's not a home fixture, this one.
I know.
So, final predictions then for semis. What do you think? Not for semis, for quarters.
3-0 England.
3-0 England, regardless of opponent.
Yeah. 2-0 for me.
Oh, no, if it's Ukraine. 5. No, I mean, three nil. 3-0.
We scored 4 goals all tournament and Dino's like, 5. Oh, God. Well, that is everything from... Oh, no, I'd best get my prediction, don't I? 2-0. I'm going to side with Matt on that. 2-0, regardless of who we're playing. 2-0.
Ooh, got the player rating to you. Pickford got a 9, Trippier got a 7, Walker got a 6, Stones got a 7, Maguire got a 7, Shaw got a 6. You're taking the piss.
What? That's shambolic. Right,
Declan Rice got a 6, Calvin Phillips got a 7, Sterling got a 9, Saka got a 7, Kane got a 7, Grealish got an 8. How are we going to score a 6?
You know why Pickford got a 9, though. You know where we learnt all that.
Where we learnt it all?
Yeah, he learnt it at the
El
Brunton.
Oh, God. He literally threw the ball up in the air then and I smacked it like a bloody racket.
He didn't. Jesus. He didn't learn that at Carlisle. He was pants when he was at Carlisle.
Pants.
And on that note, I think I'm going to play us out with this and just let Spotify send us a copyright strike.
Don't worry. There we go. One strike.
Oh, it's saved!